Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as young Muslims today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims. This is Rawan.
And this is Rand. Welcome to our 15th episode. Rawan, can you believe it?
I know, it's crazy. I can't believe we're already at episode 15. Yeah, I can't believe I feel like we have been doing it for a lot longer than 15 episodes, but yeah. It's because it's every 2 weeks. But it's still just like crazy to believe that we're almost at 20, which is crazy. And yeah, it's been really fun. I feel like we just like every time I go in and I'm like, you know, we're going to record today's episode and we're going to leave. But like every time there's always like a new challenge, a new thing. And we're always like learning so much every time. And I always like come back the next time and I'm like, oh yeah, like we can't do that because that last time this didn't work. And it's just cool to see our growth.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. Honestly, like it gets hard sometimes because like when we record, it's like Saturdays and me and Rawan are like, Rawan, are you awake today? And Rawan was like, Rand, are you awake? And I was like, yeah, I'm miserable, but it's okay. It was fun.
Okay, guys. So every time me and Rand record, it's always a Saturday morning, like Rand said, because that's like the only time like either I can be home or whatever, like during the semester and stuff. And we always have to record early in the morning because we want to have the rest of our day to like do our work and do our other stuff. So basically almost every Saturday of every month is us waking up at like 8 a.m. to get here and record. And, you know, like we love our podcast so much and we love recording and we love making episodes. But sometimes it's just so hard when you're like exhausted all week and you woke up early every single day of the week. And then it's like, oh, yeah, Saturday, you got to wake up early too. Like
today, this morning was just really sad. And then I woke up, I opened the garage. My dad was parked behind me. I was pretty mad about that. I had to go get the keys. I couldn't find them. Then I get in my car and guess what? I have to go to the gas station, and I was so upset.
Yeah, it's rough to wake up early on a Saturday and come, but every time I come in, I'm always tired, and I'm like, okay, like, I'm exhausted. Yeah. But then I always leave, and I have so much energy.
Yeah, like, because, right now, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because like, we just recorded a really exciting episode, so it was amazing.
Yeah, so I would really recommend listening to this. This is probably my favorite episode,
yeah, me too,
I think,
dude.
That we've done so far. So we just recorded it, so we're still on, like, the high of just, like, having good conversations, and it always makes it worth it to wake up early. And our guest was really amazing. It was a really exciting episode.
Today's episode is sponsored by Muslim Avenue, which is a Muslim-owned and run jewelry brand that sells beautiful pieces. It's really important for us to support other Muslims in their successes and endeavors, and they are a really great company. We also have a discount code for you guys, and it's 10% off of anything from July. It's not July, guys.
It's not July.
From January 17th to the 25th. So again, from January 17th to the 25th. And the code is Real Talk, R-E-A-L.
Yeah, I hear people do this all the time.
Like on the radio.
In case you don't know how to spell real, and in case you don't know how to spell talk, Ren's here to spell it for you.
So again, it's from January 17th to the 25th, and the code is Real Talk, and we'll have all of this in the description, as well as the website and their Instagram account. And so we really hope that you guys will go check them out, and they have beautiful pieces, so make sure you go and buy some, and happy shopping.
Ren's going to go ahead and introduce our guest and read a little bit about her for you guys.
And she's actually part of our community, which we're really happy that we could find such an amazing person in our community to bring onto the podcast. Her name is Leilani Fletcher, and she's absolutely amazing, literally the coolest person. Mm-hmm. And we talked about all sorts of topics with her, but Leilani is an educator currently in a master's program at Converse College. She's a certified holistic health coach by the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in New York City. Leilani has taught nutrition education in schools and community centers across Philadelphia, and she has led holistic health workshops and worked with private clients to help them achieve greater well-being. She's a certified power yoga teacher and enjoyed teaching yoga classes at a ladies' gym in Cairo, Egypt. Leilani converted to Islam in 2008 and is married to an Egyptian and is the mother of three adorable little girls.
Leilani is such a cool person, mashallah. Like, her children are adorable and precious, and she's such like a cool person and is so relatable and has so many great things to offer. So in this episode, we're going to be talking to her about health, wellness, and her conversion to Islam. And it was honestly so much fun to record. I feel so inspired. And obviously we're recording this intro after the episode has been recorded. So let's get right into this episode, guys. It's super excited. So grab a snack, a healthy one, and sit down and get ready to listen to this episode.
No Cheetos. Bro, Cheetos are really bad for you, actually.
I don't like how the dust gets on your fingers.
Oh, I know. If you know what, this is what the rule should be. If the food makes your hands dirty, don't eat it.
Or like the weirder color, the less healthy it is. I mean, that's not true.
Coming from peppers. A person that loved Doritos, but
Me? I love Doritos?
No, I love Doritos. Do you love Doritos?
No, not really. I like them, but they're not great. Like, I would never actively seek out Doritos.
Really?
No.
They kind of smell like feet. So.
Okay, guys, this is what I'm talking about. Ren's name in my phone is Dory. Like, that's her name in my phone. Her name's not Ren in my phone. Because she does that. We'll be saying something, and she'll be like, oh, like, you know, squirrel. And she'll, like, go off. Anyway, so coming back from our Dorito story, we are about to jump into this episode with Leilani. So let's get right into it. Okay, so thank you so much to Leilani for joining us today. We're really excited to have you with us.
I'm also super excited, so let's jump right into the episode.
So the first question we have for you is that, so it's the new year and everyone is heading to the gym, trying to get fit and changing their eating habits. So what are some tips that you have to change 1 week New Year's resolutions into sustainable habits?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question. As we know, a lot of people start off going to the gym and eating healthy, and then by February, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to start to think about is, if we want this to be long-term sustainable, the why. The why do I want to lose weight, or why should I eat less sweets?
Mm-hmm.
We want to start having that larger picture of the role of food in our lives, that food nourishes us and literally becomes a part of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So it affects our brains and our thinking ability. It affects our organs and how we sleep and how we handle stress and how our moods. It is our source of energy and fuel for the day. So the goal is to start to know your own body, mm-hmm. and the role that God's food that's on the earth plays in that role of living a healthier lifestyle, not going straight to, I have to stop eating cake.
Mm-hmm.
So to start, you do want to start simple. My number one tip for people struggling to make healthy eating last longer than a week is to start by adding in and not taking out. So instead of having a list of things that you can't eat, start making a list of things that you want to start eating more of or drinking more of. Mm-hmm. So thinking to yourself, I want to start drinking more water. I want to start eating more fresh fruits and vegetables, whole foods, foods that maybe I have cooked myself and mm-hmm. baked myself. So learning about food and where, you know, from the store to your home. Start there instead of making this big list of no-nos.
I really like that, because I know I struggle with that sometimes. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop eating cake. I'm going to stop eating sweets. That's it. And then it gets like really overwhelming.
Right.
So even like when you just said that, it made me feel so much better. So I'm going to start doing that.
Great. Awesome. Yeah. And you're starting from a place of positive, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to start doing this because it's going to make me feel good versus adding that cycle of stress and almost to the depression of, oh, I can't have this.
Mm-hmm.
So it does change your focus. Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people around me too, like try and like use diets and like other things.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on like fad diets, like the keto diet and other things like that? Are they healthy? Like, should we follow them or not?
Right. It's also another good question, especially that keto diet is everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? It's literally, you can't go a day without seeing it on your Google News or somewhere. And I guess from my view as a holistic health counselor and mm-hmm. the training I've had, the number one thing to remember is that every body and every person's body is different, right? And the goal, again, is to get to know your own body. I personally believe that balance is key, and that diets that completely take out a food group, be it
mm-hmm.
carbs or meat, are not balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is a pretty big deal, there are people who do feel better when they take out certain food groups completely.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who feel better when they eat less carbs. There are people who feel better when they eat less meat. So the key is to not just follow a blogger and just do what they do for 10 days or 30 days. The
mm-hmm.
key is to if you're going to use a fad diet like that, use it as a learning process, right? Okay, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to eat a lot less carbs.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make me feel? Do I have more energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does my body feel like it's cleansing itself, or do I feel deprived, right? So you can use fad diets, again, with the consciousness of the why, which is learning about yourself and your needs. And in that way, you can use diet fad diets to gain a greater understanding of the long term. So maybe you do a fad diet for 2 weeks and you learn, you know what? Dairy, eating tons of dairy made me really feel sluggish. I had to blow my nose more. I feel like I'm coughing more. So then you kind of learn the role of dairy maybe in your life. And then maybe you learn even through that, okay, maybe I just need to eat less ice cream, you know, in my life. You know, maybe I'll choose different, you know, sweets when I want to have a sweet. So it's really about, especially as young women and young men, at this stage of your life and at any stage, learning how does food make me feel and what's going to help me feel better in my life. Fad diets can play a little role in that as long as you're in tune so that you know, wow, this doesn't feel good or this is even dangerous, right?
That's really super important. Yeah, and I know, like, a lot of people will just do the whole follow a blogger thing because it's, like, so popular and they have, like, the perfect recipe or whatever. But it can be really hard to follow those bloggers, especially because some people have, like, so many restrictions on their diet and that might not necessarily be.
Right, and I would say take it easy. Like, you know, that you can play around with it again. You know, you can, again, adding the positive nature of it. Like, okay, let me see what it looks like to not have carbs for 2 weeks. Or, and if you end up eating some carbs, don't fall into that cycle of guilt, of further stress, and especially for young women that, you know, that depression, oh, I can't do this, right? Yeah. That is just going to lead us, when you talk about, you know, mental health and things, that's just going to lead us to a place we don't want to be and into an unhealthy relationship with food. So especially as a health counselor, that's something I want to bring to people is approaching it from the positive aspect of just as it's a journey and it's going to be a life journey to understand how food can support us.
I really love how you said that each thing is going to work differently for each person. So anything we eat, whatever diet we're following, even like not a diet, however, like whatever you're eating is going to be specific to you as a person. Because like with my nutrition class, we learned about that and how important it is. But then we also learned about the benefits of the keto diet and how it works for everyone. So I really like how you brought that up. It won't work for everyone. It just depends on you as an individual person. And that's really important.
Absolutely.
Because after I was done with that class, I was like, you know, I'm going to follow the keto diet. But it's just like so many restrictions. Like you can't when you have a really busy schedule or even at like my age, I'm like, okay, well, this is too much, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And to be aware of that, you know, that, you know, that this is not what's going to work for me in my life right now is it's good awareness. That's good. Yeah.
Okay. So I've also personally noticed that some like Arab and Muslim communities often dismiss eating healthy whole foods. And even though it's like a really big part of our religion and sunnah. So is this something that you've noticed? And if so, how have you dealt with it?
Right. Definitely. It is something I have noticed. And I think it's definitely an important topic that we might have to keep bringing up in our communities. Our prophet, you know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was very mindful of the quality of the food that he put in his mouth and that he told others about, and very mindful of the amount of food that he ate. So these are big teachings in our religion, absolutely. And Islam, in my mind, charges us to be mindful of our food sources and mindful of how much we eat. And so as Muslims today, you know, I see, mashallah, that people are very concerned about leading the right path in Islam, right? You know, how we pray, when we pray, making wudu, how we talk, how we walk even, right? Cultivating our iman, so studying Islam, reading the Quran. So we are very focused on trying to make ourselves in line with our religion. Yet then it comes to food and it all seems to go out the window.
Yeah,
that's
so
right?
True, yeah.
So it's a big missing link, I think, to our practice as Muslims, is this mindfulness in our source and quality of our food. I definitely have had, you know, some pushback and maybe some laughing when I'm questioning, you know, the store-bought cookies and the neon green soda that we have after a beautiful talk, let's say, about, you know, Islam. And then we go and we eat, you know, Domino's pizza and, and chocolate chip cookies from Publix and you know, Pepsi, right? So people say, well, why? You know, it's just enjoying, but it's not actually food. It's not food. It's mostly preservatives and chemicals from a man-made lab, actually, when you look at it. And I think that for people who are coming to the masjid and trying to lead this right path and this mindfulness, that we have to start thinking about what food we're offering in our communal house of God,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think that we need to start choosing healthier foods to offer at our events. You know, it's not to say we can't have cookies, mm-hmm. right? But they're the source. Again, as the prophet said, the source and the quality makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
When you're making cookies at home, how many ingredients? It's butter, eggs, sugar, which could be even honey if you wanted,
mm-hmm.
flour, salt, and baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
And vanilla, if you'd like, right? Those are real ingredients and a small list. When you look at the cookies that we have, let's say, from one of the grocery stores, it's a paragraph long.
Yeah.
You can't read the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
That is not God's food. And so if we are coming to our masjid, if we are here to learn about our religion and surrender to God, we need to have the food that's coming into us, the food that God has put on here on this earth to nourish us.
Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely think this is a discussion and that we should continue, yeah, for our community.
I'm so happy that you brought that up because I've never thought about it that way, you know? Like, I know, like, we should be eating healthier. And when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about, like, even the quantities of food that we eat,
yes.
like, even during Ramadan mm. and when we have, like, the iftar dinners or whatever, even if it's just a family of four, you have, like, so many options that you're not going to eat. But it's just because, you know, you want to be generous and you want to show all these like qualities about yourself, but then you're wasting a bunch of food and things like that,
absolutely.
You know?
Well, I think, I mean, the amount of food and the waste of food is something we need to be a lot more conscious
yeah.
of, for
mm-hmm.
sure. And yeah, absolutely agree with you on that one.
Yeah, and when you were talking, I was thinking, I was like, wow, I have been coming to the same masjid since I was like a little kid, and I have never once in my life heard someone say what you were talking
yeah.
about. Like, I've never heard anyone bring it up, and like, we all know it's there, but like, no one talks about it. And I remember one time, like a long time ago, there was someone speaking at the masjid talking about how like dairy actually isn't that great for you. Cause like, you know, you grow up and people are like, drink your milk. And you know, the person was saying that dairy isn't that good for you. And people were like making fun of them. And you know, they were like, this person is crazy. And, like, they don't know what they're doing. Even though the person was like very well educated
right.
and very credentialed. So it was just so interesting to see how, like, we've never talked about that. And even when we do, we just, like, make fun of it, you know?
Yes, right. And that, I mean, if we are true, and I really believe that with our community, that we are true in our commitment, you know,
mm-hmm.
to our religion and our intention to surrender to God, we have to look at this, the cultural aspect of food and how non-healthy food has entered into our everyday living in a way that can be detrimental to us. And that refocusing back toward whole foods is in itself a spiritual practice and should
mm-hmm.
be part of our spiritual practice.
So I know like one big barrier for me and for a lot of people is that a lot of our listeners are in like intensive schooling periods or very stressful jobs. And, you know, life is just constantly like go, go, go for everyone. So what recommendations do you have in terms of taking care of, you know, our mental health, you know, through taking care of our physical health and, you know, how do these tie in based on your experiences and how can we do that given our busy schedules and our busy lives?
Right. It's a big challenge in today's world. I think everyone feels it, right? We have a lot to do. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of stress. And yet we know the connection between our physical body and our mental health, right? We know that if we're having a lot of stress, that exercise is going to help, that mindful yoga, that breathing is physically going to help. There are times when I'm just like, just breathe. Even if you don't, you know, think that it's going to help, just do it anyway,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to help, right?
Yeah.
So I don't have to think, okay, this is going to, I don't have to be in the mind for it. You know, I don't have to be in my little yoga room with my yoga pants and all my, no, just breathe for 10 minutes, you know, 10 deep breaths right now. Because you're stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's just taking that, you're sitting in your car, you just got done a class, just breathe those 10 deep breaths, right? Because it will help your hormone levels to start to balance in your body, and it will help you go forward in your day. As far as food goes, what I was talking about before, the adding in, right? Just be like, I'd like to drink more water, you know? So when you're, you know, quickly rushing at home in the kitchen, you have a glass somewhere in your kitchen that's always there, right near wherever you get
mm-hmm.
water, drink some water, right? So just make it easy for yourself. Have that glass ready. Drink that water. Just try and get some of the really essential vitamins in. So vitamin C is really important during stress, right? Especially in the winter and our immune system. So just be like, I want to start eating more oranges, right? So just start slicing some oranges to take with you to school, right? So kind of thinking some simple steps of how to start adding in these healthy foods and making it easy for yourself. And then just being gentle on yourself in the beginning for sure.
Yeah, definitely. That's great advice. And even like sometimes in school, I'll find that it's like super hard. I suck at drinking water. Like it's like my biggest weakness in life. And a lot of times, like I notice that if I have my water bottle, the one that you like pick up and drink out of, I drink way less water than if I have the one with like a straw, because, you know, you can just like sit there and like
drink. Right, I've heard that. Absolutely. I've heard that. So if you have seen that, right, have that nice, pretty plastic thing with the straw and drink your water. Absolutely. Find the ways that make it easy for you to get some of these really crucial, healthy things into your body.
Yeah. What are your what are your thoughts on like meal prepping?
Yeah, it's huge. I think especially at this age in your life, I remember, you know, end of high school and for sure college, you have to start to learn how to cook yourself, right? That's a big key to healthy eating. It's easy to kind of fall into that trap of fast food and eating out all the time. I know, I've been there. I totally understand it. But in college, I really made myself kind of cultivate that time to get in the kitchen and learn to cook for myself, because it's so important, because you're not going to get those healthy ingredients eating out. Yeah. Right. So meal prep can definitely help with that. You know, Sundays, cutting up your vegetables, right? I find the night before to be hard. So yeah. I do it in the morning, right? Because I might, you know, just cut up, bring an apple to, you know, to your class or to work. Meal prep is really important just to start to think about what you want to eat for that week. Go shopping with your mom, right? Mm-hmm. Or your dad, right? Go grocery shopping. Try to think about, okay, what do I want to bring for lunch? Containers. Get the right containers. I swear that's huge, because when you're trying to fumble around to, you know, where's that Tupperware and what plastic bag should I use for this? Time's running out and you leave out the door, right? So I know for myself, this is also true for moms of children, right? I want to give my children healthy lunches. I find that I need the right equipment. You know, like I need a clean cutting board. I need this. I need the right containers and the right tops, and to know where they are, that they're washed, right? Uh-huh. So no, like learn, you know, the night before, make sure your containers are washed. Things like this, that's huge, I would say, to start thinking, okay, what do I need to be able to bring these healthy foods, and making sure you get them. Ask your mom to get some Tupperware that's easy for you to bring. And then you're going to start to bring that fresh food with you instead of grabbing a bag of chips.
Yeah. Sorry, this is so true. Like, we always lose our Tupperware.
Tupperware.
You know how Arabs say it? They're like, Tupperware. I can't say it.
Tupperware.
Yeah, we always lose ours. So, like, we're always like, you know, just get whatever is packaged already so we can walk out the door.
Right. I find that, like, I need to have those sandwich plastic bags, right? Mm-hmm. If I don't have them, then, you know, when I don't have a Tupperware, and then I'm like, okay, well, my kid's just not going to get those carrot sticks tonight. You know, so being prepared is big. And sometimes a little thing, like getting the right Tupperware, just buying that set of three at the supermarket is going to change what you get to eat the next day. So,
yeah definitely.
Wait,
put in your Tupperware.
The what? Okay, Tupper. What?
Tupperware.
It's, yeah,
Tupper.
It's spelled as peas.
Two peas.
Oh, I thought it was bees.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. Right. Tupperware.
Okay, Tupperware.
Okay,
good. You see, there's my Arab side, guys. Okay, so Islam talks a lot about health and taking care of ourselves and our bodies. So, have you found using those teachings helpful in your work/studies?
I've definitely found it helpful in my life overall, and some of the commitments that I have wanted to make in my life even before Islam, and then the religion and the conviction of living by your religion has made it easier for me. So for example, the fasting. Fasting was a game changer for me. My first year of fasting Ramadan, that was 10 years ago, was a huge struggle. You know, people who have not fasted in their life, it's a big, you know, it's a big thing to them psychologically and everything. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a lot of support that first year, but by the second year, being around Muslims and things, I was able to fast the month of Ramadan. And that I feel really changed almost my whole, my physical ability to manage blood sugars during the day. So I have seen now after 10 years of fasting Ramadans that, you know, my blood sugar is more level. I don't get that kind of shaky feeling, mm-hmm. From not eating, let's say, you know, if I didn't eat much that day or something like that. So, and just the mindful willpower that comes from being able to fast Ramadan. And I think that's, you know, an overlooked strength that we have, not just Muslims, because there's so many religions that rely on fasting, mm-hmm. and the willpower it takes and the spiritual practice of it, that, you know, you can fast Ramadan. You have the willpower to make changes in your life, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we should look to that source of power that you have accomplished in fasting Ramadan when you're talking about the willpower of being disciplined in your food choices, right? So fasting isn't just that, you know, that the daylight hours of Ramadan, and then nighttime we eat whatever, and then during the year we eat whatever. We can use that spiritual practice of fasting, of denying ourselves something for God and our, you know, our health. We can use those lessons that we know are true in Ramadan, that we have the power of, to help us in our throughout the year when we're trying to cultivate discipline in ourselves. So that has helped me for sure, as a Muslim. The practice of zabiha only also has made a big impact in my life. My family, my husband and I, we are very strict on zabiha only. So what that means is that, you know, when we go out to restaurants and things like that, we are vegetarian or seafood, right? Mm-hmm. In America here. And before Islam, I had started learning about factory farming. I had started learning about the terrible conditions, yeah, and the unhealthy conditions of our meat industry, our chickens, our beef, right? So I already knew before Islam that I didn't want to be eating the chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. And what Islam did was give me that religious practice and that religious discipline that I'm not eating meat out, because knowing that restaurants are the number one supporters of these big factory farms, mm-hmm. right? So in a way, it gave me that final, you know, that final, you know, mark that I'm not eating meat out, right? Mm-hmm. Unless I have sourced it from an Islamic source, a halal, you know, source. And that really changed my life there too. And it made me eat less meat, which is okay too, you mm-hmm. know, for being out. And also, for me, the prohibition on alcohol, and I think it's, you know, especially, you know, you're getting older, mm-hmm. it's important to talk about these yeah. things, right? So in my 20s, you know, I had already felt that I didn't want to drink alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. I could tell that it wasn't something that I want to sustain in my life. And yeah. socially, though, it's around you, yeah. right? So for me, when I became Muslim, and that was the prohibition, that was the strength that I needed to get that poison out of my life for good, forever. Mm-hmm. So those are some really three strong things that the practice of surrendering in Islam can give you.
Yeah, I think that was like super powerful to mm-hmm. like hear, especially from, like, no one ever really talks about it in that way either, because everyone, like, for people that are born Muslim, like, you're just told from when you're young, like, you do this yeah. and you don't do that just because. So hearing that was, like, very powerful as well. And I think that, like, for me, it reminds me, like, of one of my favorite things about Islam, which is that it really is, like, a way of life. It's not just something you go to once a week. It's not yeah. something you just go to on Friday or Sunday or whatever. You know, it's something that, like, affects every single thing in your life, even down to how we feel every day, because it's affecting our food and what we eat.
Right.
So just, like, hearing your perspective and, like, how, like, eloquently you put it all was just, like, really powerful.
And I love how you had, like, all those reasonings, because we don't think about it on, like, a daily basis. Like, I don't do this for this reason. Like mm-hmm. Nawan said, like, it's really amazing.
There's yeah. a deeper wisdom for sure in the things that we're told to do in Islam, right? Mm-hmm. And it helps to hear that and get that perspective.
Yeah. And you mentioned in discussing that you did convert to Islam as well. So shifting gears a little bit, would you mind discussing how you came to Islam and how coming to Islam led you to where you are today?
Sure, absolutely. well, Let's see. Well, I came to Islam. I found Islam on a small little island off of Scotland one summer in 2008. And I was there just kind of on a spiritual journey to begin with. I didn't know where it was going to lead. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah, it did lead me to books on Islam. And I was drawn in. I eventually moved to Egypt from Scotland to learn more about the religion and to study Arabic. And it is there in Egypt that I met my husband and we had our first child. Mm-hmm. So really everything up to this point was from that turning point of my life in Scotland when I found Islam and became Muslim. That was kind of everything after that. Led by the grace of God, you know, to my next step. So my husband and I moved to Greenville about 6 years ago, and we're creating our life here. We have three children. So every day, you know, I think to myself that what, you know, the blessings that I have in my life has come from accepting Islam and becoming Muslim, and my life would be totally different if that had not happened. So for sure, it's made a big impact on my life, and I feel its blessings every day, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. That's amazing, and it's amazing to see, too, that, like, Islam is just, like, everywhere, you know? Like, you think that people have to, like, go to a library or something to find it, but, you know, you're saying, like, you're in a small island, like, right. Near Scotland, and you still found out about it, you know?
There was a very tiny little library there where I was able to, to find, again, by, you know, by God's will, that little book on Islam. But these like you said, God was there in that little island too. And just through my own journey, just feeling that I wanted to get to know and understand God more and to surrender to God more. I didn't know how to do that. And that's when that little library came into play. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's so amazing, like, hearing it. Like, I love hearing, like, different stories. And I feel like it's so different when you're born Muslim and then when you convert to it, I feel like you have such, like, a greater appreciation for it. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to hear it.
I agree. And I think that's something that I hope to share, that, you know, and that inspiration that, mm-hmm. you know, for especially young Muslims or at any age, that sometimes, and I'll say it, even 10 years, sometimes I can lose sight of that touch of the heart, that spirituality that you hope that you have every time you get on the prayer mat, right? I don't always have it, right? And sometimes I long for it, I yearn for it. And I think that it's something, you know, that we do have to talk more about together and always just keep on searching for it, you know, because it's there and it's a part of what we want in our lives, inshallah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I love that. Like, honestly, the whole story, it was just amazing. And honestly, it made me reflect on how I feel about Islam sometimes. Sometimes, like, with different things. Sometimes, like you said, we lose sight of it. And just, like, hearing how important it is, and it should be more appreciated, you know?
InshaAllah.
Yeah. And I think taking that time to reflect on it as well is really important. Like, so many people just, like, especially, like, again, like I was born into a Muslim household and stuff like that. Like, it's just very... It's not very, like, common for everyone to, like, really reflect on Islam. Yeah. It's just, like, go to the masjid and pray and come and, like, do the duties. But, like, no one's ever, like, okay, everyone stop and reflect on, like, the deeper wisdom behind, for example, like, the healthy foods and things you were talking about. So mm-hmm. I think it's just really important and shows, like, the importance of, like, having, like, diverse Muslim communities with people from all walks of life that can show you mm-hmm. that appreciation, right. You know? Because sometimes it's not going to come from people who have been Muslim for 30, 40 years. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. I really learned a lot and I feel very, like, calm and just, you know, yeah. I feel very inspired by what you were saying. And I really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, me too. Like, honestly, I'm going to go back home and, like, reflect on my life. Like, honestly, I feel like every time we have, like, a amazing guest, that's how I feel. But, like, today it's, like, extra. I don't know why.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed being here today with you two ladies.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's all we have for you guys today, and we really hope that you guys enjoyed this episode and that it gave you good, practical tips for getting healthier and feeling better both mentally and physically.
So remember to follow us on Instagram at Real Talk Real Muslims and like us on Facebook at Real Talk Real Muslims. Share this episode with your friends or anyone who is looking for ways to get healthy and to turn their life around in that aspect. And make sure to give us any feedback about this episode or any of our episodes by messaging us on Instagram or emailing us at realtalkrealmuslims@gmail.com. And also, lastly, make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And remember to go shopping.
Send your money.
That's Real Talk, Real Muslims for you.
Bye.